At this particular time, dear people, we're going to have Brother Mukmin Rahman come up and make a presentation or introduce the imam. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, Guardian Evolver, the Cherisher and Sustainer of all the worlds. I bear witness openly. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the one Lord. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. It is indeed a great honor, privilege for us to be here with you today, to welcome all of you to this address by Muslim leader Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. And we'd like to express our enjoyment at the affair last night, the night of excellence. We enjoyed it very, very much. It was indeed a night of excellence. And we'd like to add our voice to the voices of those persons who are encouraging our youth to be creative, to be productive, to make contribution to the society. So again, we really enjoyed ourselves and we'd like to welcome all of you, Muslims, those who are non-Muslims, please feel comfortable with us here today. We are gathered here, close, sharing each other's presence, company, as one body, united for one purpose, the purpose of giving our attention to our speaker, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. And just as we are one here today in that purpose, as Muslims, we recognize and accept that we are united with Muslims all over the world. We are one Muslim community. Allah is our Lord. And why we are one Muslim community? It is because when our Prophet, the peace and the blessings be upon him, when he gave the call to come to this religion, the call was given to all people equally. He didn't favor the Arabs in his call. He didn't favor the European man, the African man, nor the Asian man in his call. All men were called to this religion equally. In having come to this religion, as religious people, we know that the foundation for us is faith. We believe in Allah. We have faith in Allah. We have faith in His angels. We have faith in His books. And we accept that the Quran, the book that was revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the last revelation. There are no more books after that one, but in that book, Quran, we have the correction of those books that came before. So we believe in his books. We believe in his messengers, all of them, from Adam to Muhammad. We omit none. We favor none. We accept all of them. But in Muhammad being the last, we recognize that in him we see the excellence of those that preceded him. We believe in Allah's judgment. We have faith in His judgment. Him never having been born, never having been made, never having fathered a son, never having been the son of anyone, having always existed, we trust that He knows best. So we trust His judgment. And we believe in the promises that He made to humanity through all His prophets. So we are united as Muslims in that belief, in the faith. We are united in our fear of Allah, our fear of displeasing Him. Our hope is that we do nothing to displease Him, like our hope here today is that whatever we say, Allah is pleased with that. And if that be the case, then our unity will remain intact. We recognize the completeness of this religion, the balance of this religion. We recognize that from this religion, the direction for us as human beings is a balanced direction. And we believe that when we, the African American people, as well as American people in general, learn more about this religion, Al-Islam, we will see more and more Americans, more and more African Americans coming into this religion, because this religion demands something of you. This is not a religion where we can skateboard our way through. This religion demands that we be strong people, and as strong African American people, and indeed as strong Americans, we want that which is strong. We want that demands of us that we carry out our responsibility. So we've got unity today with Muslims all over the planet Earth. Getting this unity wasn't easy. Keeping this unity won't be easy unless we work hard. Working hard, we can keep the unity, and Muslims is working hard here in Cleveland, here in America, all over the earth to keep that unity. We're working hard to even improve our relationship with non-Muslims, with other religious people, and indeed with other ethnic groups, with people of goodwill everywhere. And we're no different than those good Muslim brothers and sisters who came to America in years past, whose intention was to invite people to come to meaningful religious life. Our goal is the same. And we know that once the religion is presented properly, people will see that it embraces meaningful religious life. So our mission is the same. We are united in that mission, to call all people equally, to spread genuine brotherhood, to spread the oneness of Allah. And we recognize and accept the great responsibility that Allah has given us. We as Muslims, we have the responsibility to uphold the Quran, to struggle in the cause of Al-Islam, to be charitable, to be productive citizens, to be good men and women. We accept that responsibility. We all say as Muslims, no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. Peace and blessing be upon him. Now we know that that wasn't always the way it was for us, but it's that way today, and because of that, we're saying the same thing that a billion or more Muslims around the globe are saying. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Salat 5 times daily. Zakat, a specific amount that we owe. And we accept the principle of charity. And we know that to pay zakat, we have to work and we have to be productive. We are united with Muslims. During the month of Ramadan, we fast during the month of Ramadan. That too wasn't always the case, but it is today. we accept to make the annual pilgrimage to Mecca, to the Kaaba, once in our lifetime, if we can afford to do so. So we are indeed united with Muslims. At last, we as African American people are in the race for healthy human productivity. And while we are united with Muslims all over the globe, we are not going to lose our own identity. We are going to keep our African American identity while being the better of the Muslims. Allah has given us our identity. He says in the Quran that He has given us our shape, our form, and they are beautiful. So as Muslims, we recognize that we are the best. We are the best community raised up for humanity. That's a great responsibility, one that we accept with Muslims all over the globe. So today we don't hesitate to challenge our thinking. We don't hesitate to challenge our mind. We know that what we have here in this religion, led by Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, we can put needed light or understanding on today's situation, on the drug situation, on the educational, the business and governmental situation. With this understanding, we can make healthy human contribution. It is with this understanding that has elevated Muslim American, African American Muslims as deputy mayor of the city of Detroit, city council in the city of Augusta, Georgia, school board administrators, federal, state correctional officers. It is with this understanding, this enlightenment, that we've come to this and many other positions in America. When Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad came into the leadership of the then Nation of Islam, we began to be productive. And when we say this, this is not said in any way to take away from our leaders. No, indeed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, was a very wise man. Very wise man. In being wise, as Imam Rahman was saying today, he said that he was not teaching us the religion, that the one that was coming after him was going to teach the religion. He was only pulling us out of the fire. Knowing this, it would be un-Islamic and indeed anti-human of me to deny or even suggest that there were no contribution worthy of our keeping made then. So we are not saying that. Matter of fact, his contribution was a great contribution, greater than many of us think it was. And we are not going to let that contribution be buried under the Western world's thinking and the way they do things. We are going to bring it up and let all people know that we accept that contribution, we recognize it for what it was and what it is, and it's worthy of being preserved. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. So we accept to challenge our mind. In accepting that challenge, we are finding ways daily to put the language of the Quran or the message of the Quran into the language of the people. Because from that language, or from that message of the Quran, we've been told by Imam Muhammad, and it is true, that it is from revered religion that we get productive ideas for formulating and conducting our lives. Our lives as human beings. We get ideas that keep us in the mainstream of life's activity. Not extreme, mainstream. With this religion, we can go to China and live it. We can go to the Soviet Union and live it. We can go anywhere on this globe and live this religion. Productive ideas, keeping you in mainstream human life. It was not an extreme Muslim leader that signed that historical document in Williamsburg, Virginia, reconfirming this country's commitment to freedom of religion to all its citizens. That was no extreme leader. It was no extreme Muslim leader who was given the coveted Four Freedoms Award given to very few people in history. That was no extreme Muslim leader. No extreme leader. No extreme leader can have the God-given insight and understanding of the human needs in today's complex society. If he's extreme, he can't see a thing. No, he can't be extreme. He must be mainstream. Yes, he must be mainstream, recognizing the rights of all people to choose for themselves based upon knowledge. But at the same time, he must be demanding his rights as a free man in this country to call all people equally to their God-given dignity. And I believe, this is me, I believe that it is a result of his human stand for equality that many more people are freer today. Many more people are freer today to ponder, to explore what it means to be human, freer to pursue excellence. I believe that. Allahu Akbar. And let me tell you, I don't accept the idea that the rise in human freedom or the spread of democracy around the globe is a result of some hardline conservative movement, nor the result of any other movement that's not Islamically based. No, I don't believe that. I believe that it is a result of the mainstream Muslim leader, Imam Wahdati Muhammad. For he was saying back in the 70s, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that the human being all over the globe was alive, never to die again, and that it was only a matter of time before he began to rise up, demand his rights, throw off the tyrant, and throw off the dictator. So now that he's doing that, I don't give the credit to anyone but him. Praise be to Allah. I don't believe that it was military power. I believe that it was the power of Almighty God working through this man. I believe that. Not that others aren't working, and not that others aren't making contributions. But the leader in that call is Muslim American leader Imam Wahdati Muhammad. So as we enjoy the riches of universal Muslim unity, let us not sell short and let us not disrespect the role of Imam W.D. Muhammad in bringing us into a position where we can participate in that unity. Let us never underestimate that or disrespect that. It is a direct result of his efforts that we have been reborn, dear people, reborn out of the black nationalist influences into the universal Muslim unity, one community with Allah as our Lord. Yes, I accept when he says that he was not looking for men when he came, but empty vessels to put men into. And I know you accept that also. And because we accept that, today our cup runneth over. And we can now accept the responsibility as grown-up Muslim men and women. Yeah, as Muslims, one of the obligations of this religion is that we be truthful at all times. So let us dispel any and all falsehoods as to how we got where we are. It is because of his efforts that the misconceptions about al-Islam and the Muslims are changing in America. When we look at the image of the Muslim yesterday in America, and we look at that image today, we see change. The situation for us in America today is better than it was yesterday. The situation for Dawah in America today is better than it was yesterday. All we have to do is work harder to make it better tomorrow. We have the example, noble example, of how to use Islamic diplomacy. We have the opportunity to exercise that same Islamic diplomacy in America today. If we just look at how it was exercised in Ethiopia by the Muslims during the time of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. Let us work to make our efforts stronger to spread al-Islam in America, to bring good quality people into the ranks of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, knowing that al-Islam is just as respected. Al-Islam in America is just as respected as Judaism. It's just as respected as Christianity or any other religion. And it's more powerful than those two combined, really. Though we accept that other people have a right to make their choice. So, dear Muslim, brothers and sisters, friends, who accepted in the past that show of centralized Muslim accomplishments, we are here today to tell you again that decentralization has worked very, very well. Very well. The removing of the propagational effort from one central masjid, giving that responsibility to local imams and his public, has worked very, very well. The removing of the business concerns from under one central umbrella, allowing all Muslims who have the desire for business to explore that desire and work in business, has worked very, very well. It has worked in Chicago. It has worked in Cleveland. It has worked in California. It has worked in Texas. It has worked from the sand hills of the Carolinas to the plains of Kansas, from the Great Lakes to the Great Pacific. Every corner of this nation, that decentralization process has worked. Yes, it's worked. And the proof that it's worked, scientists who study economic trends in the society, what are they saying today? They are saying the same thing today that we were told back in the 70s, that the individual must be freer to find ways to increase the tax base of his local community, to increase his efforts in productivity or in business. We were told this years ago. To quote the Imam, Muslims can't accept to live in the world and see other people develop in businesses and they just be employed waiting for other peoples to create an opening. Allah says in the Quran, seek the hereafter with all means I have given you, but don't forget or neglect your share of responsibility in the physical world. Great opportunity awaits us. Great challenge awaits us. Great responsibility awaits the mainstream Muslim American man and woman. The scientists are saying today that the world is moving to a one-world economy. We are one united Muslim community. They are saying that free trade is the wave of the 90s. The Prophet, the peace and the blessing be upon him, he promoted free trade, no restrictions on trade. They are saying today, the scientists that study these trends, that as democracy advances, so will the spread of free enterprise. We accept free enterprise. They are saying, and here is for us the seal, for those of us who need this type of seal. They are saying that the movement globally is away from centralized business concerns to decentralized business concerns. And they say that centralization of business concerns has failed. This is what they're saying. Now, I ask you, if this is what they're saying today, and we were told this yesterday, then theoretically, no, plainly, who are they following? Yes. Imam Muhammad said it years ago, and now they're saying it. So that decentralization process has worked. We have been out front of the world. So, dear beloved people, we are going to work hard, hard, and harder, knowing that the harder we work, the stronger we get. Knowing that this world has kept the knowledge that established people away from the masses. But thanks be to Allah, today we have the Quran, we have the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and we have the insight into those two of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad. And if we follow that, success is ours. Success is ours. With that formula, we are going to go back into Africa. We're going to study Africa before El-Islam. We're going to study Africa during El-Islam. And we're going to study Africa after El-Islam. And we believe that when we apply this insight to what we come up with, we will be world leaders. We will lead the world. Not only have we inherited from Africa an Islamic generic bank, to quote Dr. C. Eric Lincoln, but we believe that we have inherited the entire Islamic life, the bank, the factory, the school, the farm, etc., the total Muslim way. We're going to do these things because we obey Allah and we obey His Prophet. And His Prophet said, the peace and the blessing be upon him, obey your leader even if he is an African man. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read study hadith, I look for ways today to apply the hadith. And as I look around, the African man today is Imam Waraduddin Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. And I just can't, this is me talking, I just can't see anyone else to apply that hadith to. So praise be to Allah. We're going to obey our leader. So dear beloved people, friends, honored guests among us, we are all invited to open our hearts, our minds, and with sincere and warm spirits as human beings, welcome before us today the leading voice in the religion of Al-Islam today, the leading voice in the call for human salvation today, the African-American man today, Muslim American spokesman, the Honorable Imam Waridddin Muhammad. Takbir!
Allah.
Takbir!
Allah.
Takbir!
Allah.
Takbir!
Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. Nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu. We seek him for assistance and return to him, asking forgiveness. Wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jal. And we believe in him, who is mighty and sublime. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we witness that there is but one God, as we say Allah. And we witness that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The peace, the prayers and the peace be upon him, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and on his following, his family, the companions of the Prophet, all, ameen. Before addressing the topic for today in Cleveland, faith and works in our religion are for us as Muslims, I must express the great joy that we experienced last night at the 7th annual observance of the building of the Masjid Bilal and the achievements of Imam Clyde Rahman and the people who were working hard with him. We certainly had a very inspiring and historic meeting occasion last night that I'm sure will benefit us in our spirit and our morale and in many other ways for the rest of our life and for the lives of our children to follow for many generations. I don't think the impact of this is registering on many of us as it's registering on myself and I'm sure a few others. The impact of this may be too much for the people that care nothing about anything but what is the grocery list today and who's coming over, or what I'm going to have before going to bed, or what's on Channel 7, or whatever, you know. So for persons who busy their minds with nothing but things like that, I know the impact of this escapes right now, but somewhere in the future, it's going to hit you too, and you're going to realize what occurred last night. Not that this is the first time, but last night was the most impressive I've seen. Anywhere. We haven't had anything to equal that anywhere in these United States. See, it's a great thing when one man among us is recognized for his goodness and his merits, in a big way by big people or by important establishment. But it's a bigger and a greater thing when a person that says he is beneath that person in the importance and leadership also receives that kind of recognition. That's a greater thing. It's a greater thing when we have people working with us, like Imam Khalid Rahman, who says Imam Dabedin is his leader. But he got recognition last night that few African Americans get in this country anywhere. Yes. So things are happening that are too big for our small focus right now, you know, and they are going to really strike us much later in the future. And I guess Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, I guess he was facing similar situations when he was following God and starting out with his great mission that now incorporates about 1 billion people on this planet. They say about 1 out of 5 human beings. So if you gather 5 people, one should be the Muslim. One of those numbers goes to the Muslims. There's a lot to be said about the great achievement of our prophet. And that's not our topic for the day, but it's hard to resist talking about it. It's very hard to resist it, especially once it hits your mind, once your mind becomes aware of it. Very hard to resist talking about the achievements of our prophet, peace and blessings be on him. Anyway, getting back to the point, from what I've read in the Quran of him, and from what I've read of him in his own reports that we have in the records, the life reports of our prophet, the reports on the life of our prophet, I'm convinced that he faced a similar situation himself, where the worth and magnitude of what he was doing was too much for the people, most of the people that he was addressing and trying to reach at that time. So for that reason, he spoke to them of the future, that in the future, many things will be realized, and in the future, you will realize this, you know. And he would refer them to people who had circumstances that made it possible for them to have a better grasp of the importance of what he was doing. For example, in the Quran, Allah gives the revelation and says, and ask the Christians, huh? Consult the Christians. Consult the people of the book, it says. And we take that to mean people who believe in Christianity and Jews, right? Consult the people of the book for verification of what I am saying to you. Why? Because you don't have the experience and the circumstance behind you to really be aware, to really grasp the magnitude and the great gravity of what I'm talking about. So you only have me as a witness, you know. Since you are limited, your circumstances have behind you have limited you, go ask those people whose circumstances have been favorable. They have great learned people among them, and they are aware of the world and the world's history, and they know better how to estimate the value of individuals' work. So consult them. And I say, last night you received a recognition that you would never receive from your people for the next 10 generations, because we don't have that kind of circumstances in our life to make us value what he's doing as they value what he's doing. I'm not saying this to condemn us. I'm saying this, I hope, to enlighten us, to let us know that though we are perhaps the best people in preparedness when it comes to sincerity and enthusiasm, but we are not the best people in preparedness when it comes to a situation for measuring the value and worth of individuals who are doing great work. We are growing to that. We are growing into it. And we are growing fast. I'm happy to say that. We are growing very fast. We are becoming a sophisticated body of people real fast. It can't happen too quick for me, though. So much for last evening. And again, it's hard to turn from that focus there on what occurred last night. So much that is stirring in me that I would like to say. So I will simply just close that last evening out by saying we thank Allah for the achievements of Imam Clyde Rahman and the hardworking people with him. We pray that Allah always bless him and the people working with him and preserve their works, and increase their works. Ameen. I would like to open the topic for the day, or the subject for the day, if we want to call it that. The address for the day. I like to use the expression address for the day. With a reading, some reading from the chapter in the Quran called Ar-Rahman, the Beneficence. And before reading the contents of this, from the contents of this chapter, the ayahs or verses of this chapter, I would like to make some comments on the very title itself, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is the attribute or name of the Almighty God, Lord, Creator of the heavens and earth. One of the, we say the 100 names or 99 attributive names of Allah, Ar-Rahman. And we know that that number is only a number we use in formal situations or in formal kind of conversation and discussion. We know that for Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, for him are all the most excellent names. Yes. Ar-Rahman, first of all, it is important to know the root of Rahman. Rahman. The root that is the meaning, the core meaning of Ar-Rahman, the core. The nucleus, if you understand nucleus, core is the main part of a fruit or something, right? The center, the most important part. Nucleus means the same. If we understand what we mean by this expression, then the root or the heart of the word is mercy. Mercy. It comes from Rahma, mercy. And Ar-Rahman is the one who is so bountiful, having so many, much resources. Everything that exists as resources really come from him, the Creator, Allah. And he gives it to his creatures. It has been created for his best behaving creature. That's why he created it, to influence goodness in his creature, to influence good behavior in his creature, to influence thankfulness in his creature. And that first word, first part development in his creature, faith, to increase or influence and increase faith in his creature, faith in his creature for the Lord, for God, you see. So he had created so much and so much. Now let's read some verses from the Quran, the last revealed book, the chapter titled Ar-Rahman. And though most of us will not speak Arabic or understand Arabic or read Arabic, still, I think all of us can appreciate the soothing, and I for want of a better word, melodious sound of the Quran. Melodious means like music, you know. It begins, and we also always ask Allah's protection from the rejected Satan. It begins, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'an. God most gracious, it is He who has taught the Quran. Allama means to make someone know, to bring someone to know something by teaching, by informing. So He is the one that taught the Quran.